Revelation 14, 1 through 5. Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sing as it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. 50 days had passed since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the church obeyed Jesus' command to remain in Jerusalem until she was endued with power from on high. She was gathered on Pentecost Sunday, when suddenly a sound like a rushing wind filled the place. Tongues as of fire appeared, and one sat upon each of the believers. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit allowed them to speak. Thus, the beginning of the church marked a new time in which the church would be a witness of Christ as soon as the Holy Spirit endued her, the church, with power. The church was harshly persecuted once she was the witness of Christ because the world hates the Lord. In Thessalonica, believers were referred to as those who had turned the world upside down. In Ephesus, they were the targets of envy and intrigue. Nero led a demonic anti-Christian policy. He set fire to Rome and blamed the Christians. He also persecuted and killed Peter and Paul. And Nero committed suicide. So the beast's head was cut off. Years later, the cut off head was healed. Domitian resumed the uprising against the church and tried to force the church to worship him. Many were killed, others banished, such as John, and others faced hunger, cold, loneliness, and nakedness. In the following century, the church suffered persecution under Pliny, Trajan, and several other emperors. Christians thought that the persecution was over after Constantine signed the Edict of Milan in 313 AD. But confusion and heresy came, and the church suffered deviations from sound doctrine. The two beasts, namely worldly governments and anti-Christian religions, were warring against the authentic Church of Christ. The mark of the beast was visible on the hand and forehead of his followers, representing their works, hands, works, and forehead, thoughts. So their works and thoughts are at the disposal of the devil. The mark of the beast means that they belong to Satan and do his will. They live as the devil wants, and they seek to satisfy his desires. That's why they have the beast, the mark of the beast, and on their forehead and on their hand. It seems there is no hope when we read this and when we listen to this, hear this. It seems there is no hope. You see? So hard to be a Christian. Yes, it is. And the dragon and his allies seem to have overwhelmed God's people. But wait. Look at John's new vision. The dark clouds, when the dragon summoned his terrible allies disappear completely and radically. It was like a cry coming from the throne, shouting out loud, "Enough with deception, lies, conflict, and persecution." John sees the Lamb who once suffered but now appears as the winner. John sees Christ's victorious church with the victorious Lamb. In his vision of the Lamb with his glorious church, three comforting truths can be highlighted. First, the Lamb is the Lord of his church. Second, the Lamb redeems the church. And third, the Lamb sanctifies his church. So first, the Lamb is the Lord. Verse 1, we can see this. John sees the Lamb standing on Mount Zion. According to Psalm 125, verse 1, this Mount Zion cannot be moved, but abides forever. And Hebrews 12, 22 refers to Mount Zion as heaven. That's why it cannot be moved. It's heaven. You see? And Hebrews 12, 22 says, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels." In this place of full satisfaction, God will wipe every tear from our eyes. There will be no mourning, no pain, for God said about this place, "They shall not hurt, not destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Isaiah 11, 9. The Lamb stands as victor. And besides him, there are 144,000 people who represent the church of Christ of all time and age. And notice the contrast between the small and great, the rich and poor, free and slave, bearing the mark of the beast in his hand and forehead, and the 144,000 with the Lamb. There is a contrast. The 144,000 also bring a sign on their foreheads, which demonstrates that their thoughts and motivations are not at the disposal of the devil. This is not a sign, the sign that they belong to the majority. They have a sign, they are 144,000, the church. They have a sign on their forehead. And this sign doesn't mean that they belong to the majority, because just a few people enter the narrow door and walk on the narrow path that leads to eternal life. He sees the Father's name written on their forehead. This means that the church belongs to the Lamb. It's completely different from the rich and poor, slave and free, those who follow the beast. They are different. Because the 144,000, the church of all ages, they belong to God. They belong to Jesus Christ. They were bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. They are God's exclusive property. Their thoughts don't belong to Satan, but as Martin Luther said at the Diet of Worms, their minds are captive of the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, let's think of this truth. Is the Father's name noticeable on our forehead? What have been What have we been thinking? To whom does our heart belong? For whom do our hands work? If we belong to God, we must live to worship Him, proclaiming His virtues. Once we belong to God, we must humble ourselves in sincere repentance, day by day. Once we belong to God, we must walk on our way to heaven. We must show the heavenly perfection in us. We must obey His commandments. Do we have the name of Christ engraved on our forehead? Do our friends know this? Do they see this by our good behavior at our job, at school, at home? Do your parents notice this, children? Are you obedient to your parents? Do you gladly do whatever they command? Let me talk about a second point. The Lamb is the Redeemer. We can see this in verses 2 and 3. The Lamb is the Redeemer. John mentions these 144,000 in Revelation 7. They are the same 144,000 here with one difference. In Revelation 7, they are surrounded by enemies. But here in Revelation 14, they are fully redeemed after the final judgment in heaven. They sing a new song. A voice is heard from heaven as the voice of many waters. When Legion and I visited Porto de Galinhas Beach in Brazil, we stayed in a house right at the shore. It was fantastic. You should go there. The ocean sound was so loud and full of all frequencies. It was so beautiful. Voice of many waters, you see? I remember our honeymoon in Iguazu Falls, Brazil. You should go there one day. Definitely, you should go there one day. You have an amazing sight of the falls from the Brazilian side. But if you go to Argentina's side, you're going to be more amazed. You can actually walk in front of the falls. Then you can finally see the main falls with its fantastic, fantastic volume of water. It's fantastic. We heard the most powerful sound ever. A powerful bass that resembles thunder. We were so amazed that we started singing praises to the Lord for the works of His hands. That was a fantastic experience there. We heard the voice of many waters. Or maybe the sound like voice of many waters. The sound of many waters here in Revelation reflects strength, relentless vigor, overwhelming force, victory. Not only that, John also noticed that the voice he heard displayed the sweetness and lightness of a harp. What a sublime combination. The majestic together with the sensible, the thunderous with the soft, the strong and the pianissimo give the color of this matchless music, something beautiful. It is the new song sung by the redeemed church. It's new because it represents a new experience, a new reality. All things are passed away completely. All things are new. No other could sing or learn the song for one reason. Only those who were bought from the earth can experience this new reality. This shows that only the true church of Christ has been and will be redeemed. Just them. We studied this Sunday school in this Sunday school class, please come to our Sunday school class. We are discussing so many and good points of Reformed doctrine. And we were discussing this morning that Jesus Christ saved us. And he gave his life for the elect people, for his church. It's clear in John chapter 10. So Jesus Christ redeemed us. He not only set it available, salvation available to us. No, he saved us completely. And only the redeemed ones can sing this new song, because only they can have this new reality. Only the church was bought by the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, only the redeemed can learn the song. The Lord brought us out of a pit of miry clay, set our feet upon a rock and established our steps. After saying these words, the psalmist David concludes, "He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God," he said. Look at this. This is the new song, the song sung by those who were redeemed. Once redeemed from the earth, Christ's victorious church can worship and praise with a song that expresses her newness of life, her new reality of triumph over death, flesh, the devil, and sin. Although these verses refer to heavenly glory, yet our experience in this world has to be of new creatures who are walking to heaven. In our present moment, we read in Scripture, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day by day, day to day." Psalm 96, 1 and 2. Have you been singing a new song that expresses a sweet and strong melody of an obedient and humble life? Or is your singing weak and out of tune, as if playing a harp with strings broken by worldliness and pride? The third point, the Lamb sanctifies, verses 4 and 5. The work of the Lamb to make his bride victorious was complete. The church belongs to Christ because he bought her by his blood. He rescued her from the darkness of condemnation. In Ephesians 5, 25 through 27, Paul said, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." Paul portrayed exactly how the church is revealed in John's vision. "These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins." John is not teaching that sexual relation is a sin. No. No, absolutely. Sexual immorality, fornication, adultery, as set forth in the Word of God, are sin. Thayer's dictionary defines the Greek word parthenoi, virgins, as a man who has abstained from all uncleanness and whoredom attendant on idolatry. An explanation. Who has not worshipped idols. And so has kept his chastity. You see? Chastity remains after marriage if husband and wife relate faithfully only to each other. The so-called virgins here in the text are the followers of the Lamb, wherever he goes. The Greek word translated here as to follow indicates that the disciple of Jesus leaves everything to go after him. They just left behind the old man and they followed Jesus. In his theological dictionary of the New Testament, Kittel wrote that the verb to follow signifies self-commitment in a sense which breaks all other ties. So the true disciple of Christ does what his master does. He truly loves his master. For Jesus said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him." John 14:21. This one called the Lamb here in Revelation 14 is also called the Good Shepherd in John 10, verse 2. Interestingly, he speaks of sheep that belong to him. This is equivalent to the mark of on the forehead, you see? We belong to him. We are his sheep. He also says that the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. John 10, 3 and 4. And later, in verses 27 and 28, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. They will never perish forever, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Notice that the merits are of Christ. He shepherds, he calls, he gives eternal life, and keeps his sheep. They follow Jesus because only he is the true shepherd who reveals himself to his sheep. Those 144,000 who follow the Lamb are also redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb, verse 4 says. Christ redeemed them when he died on the cross. As Hendrickson said, one of the results of his death for them was the cleansing work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, whereby they were separated from the sinful life and conversation of man. You were saved to be holy, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:20. The church of Jesus is separated from sin. It must be holy because he who saved us is holy. The church has been sanctified, purified by the word of God. John sees the holy church in communion with the Lamb because sanctification will be completed in heaven at this point. Today, we are sanctified, but not yet fully. During this vision, John must have shouted for joy when he saw that God had finished the work he had begun in the church. And we can rejoice today because the one who began this work in us, he is faithful to finish this work until the day of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, Paul said that we were predestined for sanctification. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We were saved to be holy. When John says that the 144,000 are the first fruits to God and to the Lamb, it means that there was a separation or sanctification. That's why the Lamb sanctifies. In the old days, the first fruits of the harvest were separated and dedicated to God. In the same way, those who belong to God and have been redeemed, rescued, separated, and set apart from men, they have been separated or set apart from men in general. James 1:18 says, "Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." You see, we were separated from others in general when we were saved. That's why the Lamb sanctifies. The Bible often compares sinful mankind, which is on its way to last judgment, with the fields that ripen for the harvest. In John 4:35, we have an example of this. Jesus said to his disciples, Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Huh. We see the same picture here in Revelation 14. The fields are ripe for harvest. The first fruits are for the Lord. We can see this in verses 14 through 16. The rest is for judgment and will perish with the devil and his allies. Verses 17 through 20. But these 144,000, that means the church of all times and ages, they are first fruits redeemed from among men in general. There is no sign or reference to them as a select group of people among believers, as Jehovah's Witnesses say. There is no such a thing. All have the name of the Lamb and of the Father engraved on their forehead. They all belong to Christ, and they all are saved and separated, that is, sanctified. Finally, in this vision, John sees the triumphant church together with the Lamb. The victorious church belongs to Jesus and to the Father, because each of her members has their names written, the name of the Father and of the Lamb, on their foreheads. They were bought by the blood of the Lamb, that is, they were redeemed. Finally, they were and will be sanctified, because they are the first fruits to God and to the Lamb, redeemed among men. And in their mouth was found no deceit, because they overcame the beast who came up out of the earth, the anti-Christian religions, and were not confused by their lies. They are without fault, because they have rejected the mark of the beast who came up out of the sea, that is, worldly governments. They rejected idolatry, sexual immorality. They followed Jesus Christ. They were loved by him and prepared for the great wedding ceremony, the holy union of the Lamb with the bride. Christ and his church will finally be united for the glory of God and for the full happiness of the church. Finally, Christ's command in Matthew 5:48 will be totally fulfilled. Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And it will be true that David said in Psalm 17:3. In 15, David said, "You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and have found nothing. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress." How is it possible? Some people would think, "Oh, David was thinking too high about himself." No, it's possible. We can say the same thing. God finds nothing wrong in us. How? We are sinners. Brothers and sisters, the righteousness of Jesus Christ was imputed to us. we have upon us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's why God doesn't see our wickedness, our sinful heart. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ that covers our sinful nature, our sins. Then we can say like David, as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Verse 15. The best thing in the world is to belong to Christ. Do you belong to Jesus? Believe in Him. But believe with all your heart. Repent from your sins. He said, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all He has given me, I should lose nothing, but to raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Amen.